This is in Deuteronomy 17:14 through 21. It says, "When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, and you say, 'I will set a king over me, like all the nations that are around me,' you may indeed set over you a king whom the Lord your God will choose. One of your own community you may set as a king over you. You are not permitted to put a foreigner over you who is not of your own community. Even so, he must not acquire many horses for himself or return the people to Egypt." Remember I said going to Egypt is never a good idea. The king is not supposed to return the people to Egypt in order to acquire more horses, since the Lord has said to you, you must never return that way again. And he must not acquire many wives for himself, or else his heart will turn away. Also, silver and gold he must not acquire in great quantity for himself. When he has taken the throne of his kingdom, he shall have a copy of this law written for him in the presence of the Levitical priests. It shall remain with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, diligently observing all the words of this law and these statutes, neither exalting himself above other members of the community, nor turning aside from the commandment, either to the right or to the left, so that he and his descendants may reign long over his kingdom in Israel." All right, so we get this description in Deuteronomy of what the king is not supposed to do. Okay, then we flip over to 1 Kings chapter 4. And this is where we're going to start to get the idea that the downward spiral really starts with Solomon. First Kings chapter 4, we read, "Solomon's provision for one day was 30 cores of choice flour and 60 cores of meal, 10 fat oxen and 20 pasture-fed cattle, 100 sheep besides deer, gazelles, roebucks, and fatted fowl. For he had dominion over all the region west of the Euphrates, from Tifsa to Gaza, over all the kings west of the Euphrates, and he had peace on all sides. During Solomon's lifetime, Judah and Israel lived in safety from Dan even to Beersheba, all of them under their vines and fig trees." Here's where we get to the problem. "Solomon also had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. The official supplied the provisions for King Solomon for all who came to King Solomon's table, each one in his month. They let nothing be lacking. They also brought to the required place barley and straw for the horses and swift steeds, each according to his charge." Okay, so in Deuteronomy 17, what is one of the things that the king is not supposed to do? Get lots of horses, right? What do we find about Solomon? He gets lots of horses. Okay, so we're getting this language borrowed from Deuteronomy. And if you read through the Old Testament and you read anything about horses, a lot of times it's bad. And you're wondering, what's the big deal about horses? It's because horses are connected to Egypt. In that passage in Deuteronomy 17, you have, don't go down to Egypt to get more horses. So horses get kind of a bad rap in the Old Testament because they have a connection to Egypt. The other passage in 1 Kings 11, we'll read in 1 Kings 11, starting in verse 1. Okay, we'll see one of the other things that the king wasn't supposed to do from Deuteronomy. "King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, and Hittite women. From the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the Israelites, 'You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for they will surely incline your heart to follow their gods.' Solomon clung to these in love. Among his wives were 700 princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David." Now see there that you have this description of that compares Solomon to David, like David is the example. That's why I don't think they're trying to say that it starts with David. But here you get the description of Solomon doing one of the other things that the kings were not supposed to do, having lots of wives, especially foreign ones, because they're going to turn your heart toward other gods. And we see from this the fact that the division takes place just after Solomon is another pointer that this downward spiral really gets started with King Solomon. Now, just to kind of to get us thinking toward next week, that two of the things that get this kicked off, this downward spiral moving in that direction, you have Solomon has many wives, which lead him into idolatry. But also that passage from 1 Kings 12 that we read about the split of the kingdom, Solomon laid a heavy yoke on the people. And this is an injustice. So two of the things that we're going to see leave starting off that downward spiral, and we're going to look at how the prophets talk about it throughout, is that it's idolatry and injustice that ultimately bring about the fall of the kingdom. We may look at those from the perspective of history and just say the Assyrians were just a stronger people. The Babylonians were just a stronger people. But when you look in the Old Testament, the explanation that they give is that it's the people's idolatry, starting with the king, it's the people's injustice, starting with the king, that sets the nations on a downward spiral.